Move 20! Move 20!
It's Intentional Grounding. Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue and the Chicago Sun-Times Adam Johns.
Welcome into Intentional Grounding, episode 32. Who wears number 32, Adam Johns? Cedric Benson wore number 32. This is our Cedric Benson episode.
So this is going to be terrible, folks.
Right.
Terrible.
And I think it's fitting that it's right after the draft, too. Right? Talk about one of the all-time draft busts in Bears history, Cedric Benson. Welcome in. This is Intentional Grounding. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns with you. Follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read us at WGNradio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com. And want to thank the listeners because our listenership went up considerably during the NFL draft episodes. We appreciate that. And if you're relatively new to the podcast, find it on Intentional Ground on iTunes if you haven't already by searching Intentional Grounding. And of course on the website at WGNradio.com. So thank you for that, and we had a lot of fun leading up to the draft with our special draft episodes, our mock draft episode that we did last week, and now it's time to recap what actually happened last weekend after 4 months of speculation and hype.
about time. The draft process, getting to Chicago and being at the Auditorium Theater, can you imagine what it's like to be scouts and GMs and stuff like that and have your whole life for 3 or 4 weeks, you know, because there are meetings every day, every night, just gets completely taken over by a draft board that gets probably, you know, torn apart within minutes on Thursday.
Yeah, no, I think what's fascinating, if we take a look at the second round and how that all played out, I mean, there was a very credible report that said the Bears tried to trade up at one early in the round. Then they end up trading back twice, including after they got leapfrogged by the Packers. So if you want a lesson in, remember when we, our last episode that we did last week was right after Ryan Pace talked to us on Wednesday before the draft. And he said, I mean, basically what they were doing at that point were going through scenarios. And I don't know how you can train yourself for how that second round played out. But in the end, the Bears ended up adding 2 fourth-round picks and getting a very good player in Cody Whitehair, who, as we'll talk about in a minute, probably starting week one against the Houston Texans if he's healthy. So it is kind of crazy just to think about how much work goes into it, even going into last season when you have scouts and even Ryan Pace is checking out games across the college football landscape. And then really you spend 4 months leading up to one weekend and who knows what's going to happen.
I get the point that some people are saying, you know, the Bears weren't going to get their guy. That's why they kept trading back. I think Cody Whitehair always was one of their guys. If you can envision the board, they have names in clusters, guys with similar grades that they're okay with taking at certain points in the draft. And if there's a lot of names on that, Pace was always willing to move back, which he did with the Cody Whitehair situation. And they got a guy they graded very well and who should, to be honest, could be a day one starter for the Bears now.
Yeah, probably. Let's start in the first round, though, and what happened there. Leonard Floyd goes to the Bears, and not only do the Bears take him, but they trade up to number 9. I don't know how many of us – I mean, we always talked about it being a possibility that if they really liked their guy that they would trade up, but – I didn't really expect it to happen. So when we're sitting there in the Auditorium Theater Thursday night and Roger Goodell announces that the Bears had traded up and were on the clock, you know, immediately I'm going to my draft board and I'm going, who the heck could they be taking here? Because the big names were off. I mean, and the number one guy left on my draft board, I mean, then by big names I'm talking about DeForest Buckner was a guy that I would have traded up for.
Jalen Ramsey
was gone. Ezekiel Elliott was gone. A lot of these guys that, you know, the elite top guys were gone already. The only one that was still there was Miles Jack. And at this point, it seemed like that wasn't probably going to be the guy that they were going after when you heard about all his knee issues. And then you have the Giants there at 10. So basically the Bears are just leapfrogging one team. And I knew that the Giants like Leonard Floyd. So I'm thinking, well, that might be who they're going here with here. I don't necessarily hate the pick, but I'm not sure I like trading up for it.
I didn't like the pick at first. I was critical about it in my column the following day, even though I did allude to why you'd want to do it with Vic Fangio and Clint Hurt, two very respected coaches who would probably get the best out of Leonard Floyd. I mean, you look at Floyd on tape, not an overly productive player. Yes, he flashes all that speed, athleticism. He is a unique athlete out there. I don't like the comparisons with Alden Smith because Alden Smith came into the draft almost 20 pounds heavier than him. So I get people want to bring out that name because he worked for Fangio. He played for Fangio San Francisco. But this kid is leaner, and he's taller than Alden Smith. And he wasn't quite as productive as he was in college. So 4.5 sacks, not a lot of tackles for loss. We get to see that he did play all over the place. He had two defensive coordinators in Georgia. So maybe focusing on one position will help. But the reason I did come around to it, again, it goes back to Fangio, Fox, and Clint Hurt. They know what they want. Their track records are very good. And this was a missing element of their defense because you got three pretty good power rushers, McPhee, Houston, and Willie Young. This guy is different. This kid is different.
Yeah, he's speed. He's a speed rusher, and that's exactly what the Bears haven't had. And now the question is, can he add some kind of power move to his game? Otherwise, it's going to be pretty easy for offensive tackles to figure out.
These tackles are athletes, too. I mean, they're not just big men.
Especially in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you're a left tackle, right tackle in the NFL, you're an athletic guy. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how quickly he comes along. I mean, if we're talking about realistic expectations for year one, I mean, I don't necessarily think Leonard Floyd is going to be starting the game against the Houston Texans. I think that's maybe not all that important because he's certainly going to play, he's certainly going to be out there. But I think for at least the first half of year one and maybe the whole season, this guy's probably more of a situational pass rusher. But let's see what he looks like in training camp. Let's see how much weight he puts on, because that's ultimately what's going to decide that. Fun fact about Leonard Floyd, had he stayed in school for one more year, do you know who his defensive coordinator would have been?
Mel Tucker. So it's good he came out.
Probably. I was going back and watching him on tape at Georgia. The way they moved him around, how exotic that defense was.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be interesting to watch Georgia this year because it was not a Mel Tucker defense, that's for sure. At least not the one we saw here in Chicago. So it's kind of a wait and see with Leonard Floyd.
You know what it did, though? It flustered the heck out of the Giants. Yeah. Eli Apple,
I know,
number 10.
Well, that's what I said when I wrote that night was, look, you may not like the Bears trading up and getting Leonard Floyd, but like at least there's some conviction behind the pick.
Yeah.
I mean, what happened was, I mean, this may have been a trickle down effect from the whole Laramie Tunsil situation, because when the Titans jump up to grab Jack Conklin at number 8, that could have been precipitated by the fact that, oh no, one of these, you know, if they had decided they don't want Tunsil.
Yeah,
because Tunsil may have fallen. They're picking 15, so he ends up going 13 to the Dolphins. But maybe they could have traded up later.
I know what you're saying. The Giants could have taken one of a Conklin or a Stanley.
Because basically what happened was, and this was reported too, pretty credible. I mean, the Ravens were probably going to take Tunsil, and this whole video that came out right before the draft of him smoking out of a gas bong, or mask bong, whatever the hell it is. Jesus Christ.
I sound like I'm laughing like Tunsil.
I mean, talk about the most bizarre draft day story of all time. Instead, the Ravens go with Ronnie Stanley at number 6 because they pass on Tunsil in the last minute when this is all coming out. And Tennessee had obviously decided that they wanted a tackle. They may have been willing to take Tunsil, you know, when they were sitting there at number 2 originally. Mm-hmm. Or were they number 1? I'm forgetting.
Yeah.
They were number 1. They traded with the Rams.
So that's a good point. So you're saying the Giants could have had, on their draft board, maybe one of those left tackles.
Well, I know they like Conklin.
Yeah.
I knew that going in. I was told that a couple times, but very, very credible. source told me that the day of the draft. I tweeted that earlier in the day on Thursday. So when you have the Ravens pass on Tunsil, and now the Titans are going, well, crap, we need Conklin.
Yeah.
And we don't think he's going to get past.
We don't want gas mask bong boy.
Right. We have to get past the Giants. So they move up. And at that point, if you're the Bears and you have the same information, at least what I was told, which I would assume they do, I would hope they do, Leonard Floyd was also a guy linked to them.
Yeah.
So now the Bears are probably saying, well, Leonard Floyd's coming off the board at 10. For sure, we can't sit here and wait, so they move up to 9. So I think it was a smart move. If that's really the guy they wanted, I think they had to make that trade. And again, I hope that all made sense how we just laid out there. I think it was a trickle-down effect from this whole weird thing that came out with Laremy Tunsil earlier in the night. Meanwhile, to me, the Giants are the big losers in all this because they don't get Conklin. They don't get Floyd. And apparently they got scared off by Tunsil too, and they end up with Eli Apple.
Yeah. Not a bad player. But I don't know if he's a top 10.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, so, at that point, I would have taken Tunsil and taken the risk.
So going back to the Bears, if you could envision the Bears board again with these clusters, Leonard Floyd could have been the last name remaining in their cluster, that top-tier cluster of this is a guy we want at 11. So, hey, you know, if you're going to look at it that way, bold move. The Bears did it with conviction. That's what a word that Ryan Pace likes to use now. And you can't fault them for it. We'll see how it pans out because this kid, again, needs a lot of work.
It'll be fascinating to watch in training camp, what he looks like and how quick he is. And I think it's going to be one of the most...
I like his demeanor.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't seem like... There's no ego there. I think he'll like having to at least one position to focus on. I mean, that can motivate
we'll
and spur a player
I mean,
on.
He did say that... There was that quote that why did you decide to play defense? Because pass rushers get paid the most money. And if you watch him, let me throw this in there. A couple things I didn't like on his tape. First of all, what I do like is they moved him around. By now you probably heard about this. What his best tape though is when he's rushing off the edge. I mean he's very impressive as an edge rusher. That's how the Bears are going to use him. So I think that should be encouraging. What I don't like, two things I don't like. When the play gets by him or past the line of scrimmage, he kind of jogs in pursuit. He doesn't have that 110%, I'm running down the field and making the tackle. And then also, a couple times after the whistle, we get into it with guys, and he actually got called for a personal foul. I forget which game it was. Maybe it was Auburn.
Okay.
For like
whack. Bears got several of those guys, though. Kyle Long's one of those guys.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's something you got to watch and be careful. So, yeah, it's not necessarily a bad thing. As long as it doesn't kill you at a certain point in the game. You don't want to become the Detroit Lions.
So, no one does.
Right. Yeah, nobody does. All right. So moving on to round two, and this is certainly a storyline that then trickled into Sunday with Matt Slauson getting cut. We talked about Cody Whitehair already. He's the second-round pick after the Bears trade back twice. If I were to rank the draft picks, I would have him number one.
Okay.
I think he is the safest pick they made. I think he is the best prospect to start day one. Have the best chance to start week one against the Houston Texans. And at this point, with Slauson gone, I'll be shocked if he doesn't. I mean, unless he's hurt. Unless he gets hurt in training camp or in the preseason, I think you could not even pencil, put it in pen that Cody Whitehair is your left guard week one.
No, I got an email from a Bears fan in Arizona, and he was saying, because I did the depth chart thing today for the Sun-Times, and I had Whitehair as the starter. And he was trying to tell me that the Cardinals are going to miss Ted Larson. I get it, but he's available for a reason, right?
Yeah.
He only got a one-year deal full of incentives for a reason. I think he could be a good stopgap if you need to give Cody Whitehair time, but you're right. Whitehair could have been a first-round pick. Yes, he probably came a little later than some people projected in the second round, but this kid, I mean, looking at the Senior Bowl, he's pretty polished. Tough kid, athletic kid. I can't see a situation, because they're going to give him plenty of reps, where Ted Larson's able to hold him off and take that starting spot at left guard. I can't envision it right now.
Well, it'll be an interesting competition, and... But I think you got to go with the rookie unless he looks completely lost in training camp. And I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, part of this and me saying this is looking at his tape at Kansas State. I mean, he really was probably the most consistent offensive lineman in all of college football last year.
Yeah.
And that was at left tackle. I think he's going to be better suited at guard. He thinks he's better suited at guard. We talked to his offensive line coach at Kansas State over the weekend on our radio show, The Beat, on WGN Radio. He thinks his best spot's guard. He's a natural guard. So I think it's going to work out very well for him early on. And so let's talk about Slauson, though. I mean, it still surprises me that they just cut ties with him right away.
Let me play devil's advocate for a little bit. Are we guilty of maybe great guy, great leader, did a lot last year when he moved to center. Everybody in the media likes him. He looks the part, right? Are we all guilty maybe of, I don't know if overrating is the right word, but, you know, we're not the Bears, you know? Is Slauson as good as we think he is?
I think so. I think he just wasn't a fit for what they want to do.
That's the point. That's the point, I think.
Yeah, because, look, and I went back and I looked at all, you know, I keep these grades during the season. I went back and looked at him. Each of the last 3 years, he was the best offensive lineman on the team. And the only year it was close was Kyle Long's rookie year when I had him tied with Slauson. So, you know, like last year when Kyle Long makes the Pro Bowl and everyone's surprised by it, I felt like Slauson should have gone instead. Now, a couple things that I learned yesterday. I think we all learned the athleticism part is maybe the Bears want more athleticism at guard. Okay, they want to be able to pull their guard. They want to get their guards out in space.
White hair can do all that.
White hair can do that. He's a little bit more athletic, a lot more athletic. So, fine. Also, everyone said, well, to the point of, well, why not put him at center then?
You pull centers too now.
The thing about that was slot. Maybe that's where we're over. To answer your question, maybe that's where we're overrating Matt Slauson. He did an admirable job at center. He wasn't great. His snaps were not perfect when they were in the shotgun, and there were times where he slipped and wasn't. He wasn't the Matt Slauson that left guard when he moved to center. And I was told yesterday the Bears were a little limited in what they could do when he went there at center. And not just week four when it happened and everyone was surprised by it in the middle of the game, but actually when they had a week to prep even. Their playbook was a little limited in what they could do. So, fine, I get all that. But injuries happen in camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the Bears are better offensive line now than they were Sunday before they cut Matt Slauson. I mean, in terms of depth, if Whitehair goes down, if Larson goes down, I'm just saying, I mean, it could be week 4 or 5 and you're missing Matt Slauson.
But here's the thing. Why put off the inevitable, though? You have to – teams do consider the player and give them a chance to – I mean, cutting a guy right after the draft is not an ideal time, but it's better than a post-June 1st cut or training camp cut.
Well,
a veteran like that.
Well, and my guess here is that the Bears felt like, look, this is going to be hard to stomach in the locker room. We know that it is. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Kyle Long changed his Twitter profile pic to Matt Slauson.
Yeah,
and that's just one example. I think behind the scenes, it's even more widespread, and so maybe the Bears are thinking it's better to do it now, before OTAs have even started. Than to do it final cuts when you're trimming your roster down to 53 a week before you're playing
Houston. And you got to give the Bears credit for being fair to him and Roll. I mean, now they have a better chance as teams have a better grasp of their rosters now after the draft to find that one-year deal that I don't think they're getting two-year deals out there, but
no.
But you know, to find another opportunity out there. So got to give the Bears credit on that end, but you know, you're right. There will be, I said on Twitter yesterday, this is a real change of guard, and somebody said, nice play of words. I didn't even think about that, right? You know, change of guard.
Yeah.
But Bushrod's out. Slauson's out. You know, and Troll Roll, he wasn't here as long as the other guys, and he was on IR last year. So I don't know if his leadership impact is as great as a Bushrod or a Slauson. they're going to need – but I think the Bears already have – like talking about need. They already have a player in Kyle Long who's ready to step up and take ownership of that room, that group. I mean, he's going to be – he has to be the guy now. I mean, it's not going to be Charles Leno. Bobby Massey is brand new. Grissou, it's not going to be him. Kyle Long, he's in charge of that offensive line group, and I think the Bears are – they want that to happen.
Yeah, no question. And he's under contract for two more seasons because they picked up the fifth-year option on him. But maybe that's something you want to address at the end of the season. Maybe extend him a little bit longer. Okay, let's move on to the third round. What did you think about the Jonathan Bullard
pick? I like it. Yeah. I like it a lot. Deep defensive line class. I don't know if it would stretch that long into the third round. I mean, you watch the tape of this kid. Look, is he going to be the perfect 5-technique, 3-4 defensive end? I don't know. But he is fast off that ball, man.
The get-off is impressive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, his highlight reel is full of – I mean, he's raising hell in the backfield for opposing teams. I mean, his highlight tape is full of that.
What I like is that he wins the line of scrimmage on almost every snap. I mean, even if he gets stoned by a tackle, he's got that guy 2-3 yards backwards because the get-off is so quick. And that frees up – edge rushers to go around you, which wasn't exactly the defense Florida was playing all the time, but that's where I think it translates well to the Bears. So I think the ceiling's a little bit limited here. I mean, I don't know if we're talking about a Pro Bowl player, but I think we're definitely talking about a guy who's going to find his way onto the field pretty quickly. I mean, I don't know if he's starting right away, but I think he's certainly going to be competing with Ego Ferguson and Will Sutton for that right to start.
And he's a different player than both of those guys.
Yeah, well, he's a little bit he's quicker.
Yeah. I mean, Sutton's that was supposed to be one of his strong suits, but he's smaller, you know, in stature, even though he's kind of a, you know, he's not, I love the scout saying, light in the pants. Will Sutton's not light in the pants. You know?
No.
I don't want to say the job is his. Mitch Unrein, I mean, he's got the coaching staff's confidence, but he's a rotational guy, right? He's good against the run. He's got a spot in this roster. I'm not so certain that Ferguson and Sutton do. I think Ferguson is starting to really win over Fox and Pace with some of his offseason work after he hurt his knee and was put on IR last year. But that's just the beginning. He's got to be a better player on the field. He's got to be more for Vic Fangio. All those guys are going to be on. You know, I think even Bruce Gaston may have an edge on Will Sutton for what he can do. So it should be interesting to see how that defensive line roster competition shakes out over the offseason here, especially in training camp.
Absolutely. I mean, Bruce Gaston's probably more of the guy, because I'm trying to think of who's backing up Eddie Goldman at the nose tackle spot. You know, who's going to be really
That's probably Bruce Gaston.
In the interior. Yeah, because I don't know. I mean, unless Will Sutton gets a lot better at that role, I don't know that he can do that. I mean, how many downs do you actually need that guy on the field? Because, I mean, you're always switching to sub-packages. And at that point, you're kicking a guy like Bullard inside anyway. You're kicking Ego Ferguson inside anyway in those situations. So I don't know how important it is, but you got to at least have one guy on the roster that can, that if Goldman goes down, can control that interior of the line on first and second down.
I think it's Bruce Gaston.
Yeah.
Again, the senior kid. You know, who impressed at times with his power? The kid, he just couldn't stay healthy. You know, now I'm not talking about physically. He was just, you know, sick.
What about Terry Williams, the swamp monster?
Swamp monster. He's, you know, he's not like
he's still no, he's not. he's not lighting the pants.
Ever talk to him? He's great.
Terry Williams. Yeah, I talked to him once in
he's
training camp last year.
I like him. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
He's like the prototypical. This guy's a good dude.
All right, let's get to the fourth round here. Three picks. First of all, credit to Ryan Pace. He turned. If you go back and like look at what they had before the Martellus Bennett trade, he had 3 6-round picks. He turns that into 3 4th-round picks and an extra fourth next year.
Yeah. I think he filled out the fourth round for next year, though, because was that the Kari Lee thing?
Right, but he got an extra fourth-round pick in one of those trades this week with the Bills. The Bills gave him an extra fourth-rounder for next year. So my point is that he took 2 6-rounders and magically turned them into 2 4th-rounders this year and an extra one next year. Now, the price was Martellus Bennett and moving back twice in the second round. But I don't really care about moving back twice in the second round if you end up with a very solid starting left guard in Cody Whitehair. I mean, so
can we go back to the second round for a second? Because everybody was wondering why they didn't take an A'shaun Robinson or Jaren Reed.
Well, I was surprised Robinson was still there.
Right, right. But here's the thing. When Robinson met the media in downtown Chicago the day before the draft, and people asked him about Chicago because everybody had mocked him there early.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Including me.
Yeah. Little or no connection with them at all, you know, which doesn't mean everything.
No, it doesn't.
But it does mean something, you know, because everybody on that, on the Bears draft board there, which you got there up on your computer, met the Bears at some point.
Yeah.
You know, and it would say they had contact with the Bears at some point. Robinson was like, no.
Yeah.
I think he's a two-down player, and I think Jaren Reed could be a two-down player too. I think their pass rushing or lack of a pass rush in their resume and their skills pushed them down a lot of teams' draft boards because, I mean, it's everything now is rushing the pass. Look, Leonard Floyd was picked number 9 despite his slim frame because he can rush the passer. Those guys seem to lack those attributes.
Yeah. No, I mean – I was surprised. I had Robinson number 9 on my Bears big board and Floyd 10. So I actually had Robinson higher than Floyd by one spot. But we'll see how it all plays out. I mean, you got to give this a couple years. Okay, so the fourth round with these three fourth-round picks, Nick Kwiatkowski.
Kwiatkowski.
Nick Kwiatkowski.
The ski is going to make him beloved in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
With this Polish fan base.
Is it Nick Kragan's going nuts. It's not Nick Szepkowski. It's Nick Kwiatkowski. And it's what's funny about this is I was actually, West Virginia screwed up his name for a while.
Like the pronunciation guy?
Yeah, like I was watching these highlights, and I was watching, there was a feature on their website.
Yeah.
On West Virginia's athletic department's website, and it said Nick Kwiatkowski.
Kwiatkowski.
And that wasn't, that's not how you pronounce his name. It's Kwiatkowski. Can he play football, though?
I don't think he has. Well, he's going to make the team, right? He's going to back up Darrell Freeman and Danny Trevathan. You think in a couple of years he could beat out Freeman? I think that's the question.
Yeah, and it's not a guarantee. I mean, he's a fourth-round pick. I had Scooby Wright out of Arizona and Tyler Matakavich out of Temple rated higher. Both of them, I believe, went in the 7th round. I know Scooby was like the 4th to last pick. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, jumping in his own pool, right? Whatever the ESPN showed.
But, I mean, Kwiatkowski, I mean, what I like about him, he's jump up and catch the football. Yeah. I mean, he's got some athletic interceptions.
He's a good tackler.
Yeah.
I mean, just form tackling.
Did you see that the Vine I put out of him tackling that running back?
Which one?
In the backfield?
I've seen a few of his highlights.
He just came straight up. And slammed the guy to the ground. The guy lost the football. I mean, it was incredible. Yeah. It was like a body slam.
But it's like four. It's perfect form tackle. You
absolutely.
Know?
No, he's gonna be at minimum. He's gonna be a very good special teamer.
Right.
I think so. Another guy who I think. Well, we'll get to another special teamer later. But Deion Bush, who's the second fourth round pick, he's gonna have to contribute on special teams right away. I'm interested now that they let go of. So on my depth chart, I have this strong safety spot empty now that Antrell rolled.
I got Harold Jones Corte in there.
Well, if I had.
They like him.
If I had to put one guy. But I would probably have. Vic Fangio's safeties are interchangeable. Yeah. I might put Amos, though, in the strong spot and Harold Jones Corte in the free spot. Because watch him against the Buccaneers. He's more of a ball hawk.
Amos made no plays on the ball last year.
In
that one game, Harold Jones-Corte against the Buccaneers, 3 pass breakups and an interception. Yeah, that's better than Amos the entire year, I think.
Yeah, I want him in coverage. I don't want so if we're gonna if he's starting, I mean Harold Jones-Corte and Deion Bush, if they're competing, and Deion Bush is the safety out of Miami, who was drafted in the 4th round by the Bears, 124 overall. If they're competing, I mean, Bush is more of a big hitter type guy. Mm-hmm. Although, when I went back and watched his tape this weekend, he was okay in coverage. I mean, he made plays on the ball, too.
Everybody talks about the interception against Winston, right?
Yeah. It was a nice catch.
And he had to move to make it.
He came across from the middle of the field, near the sideline, went over the top of the wide receiver. It was a very nice play. So I think he can play free safety, too, if needed. He's small, though.
He's 5'11",
and he's kind of reckless. He's a big hitter, but he's reckless. Go turn on the Nebraska tape. He took out his own teammate. He knocked his own teammate out. And then he got kicked out of the game in the fourth quarter because he nailed the tight end Cotton on Nebraska.
Yeah.
He just came in and hit him helmet to helmet, knocked the guy out, and got ejected. And he should have. It was targeting.
Yeah.
So he's got to come. He's got to be under control.
But those, at least the willingness is there. I know they're trying to change the sport to take some of those helmet to helmet, the targeting out of the game, right? But it's football. That's what Vic Fangio and Ed Denatel want. They want their safeties to be thumpers.
But Mike, okay, so here's the thing. A guy like Brandon Merriweather comes in there, and I think he's headhunting. When I watch Deion Bush, obviously he wasn't trying to take his teammate out. And when I look at that hit on Cotton, I don't think he was trying to take the guy out. My point is he's not under control. He needs to get these hits under control so that he's not accidentally hitting them.
Taking out Adrian Amos
right
over the middle.
You don't want to take out your teammate because you're reckless. You got to be under control. And can you still come in with that same speed and that same thump if you're hesitant then?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm talking about with his game translating to the NFL level.
I feel like he's gotten less pub compared to these other defensive backs. DeAndre Hall, the guy with the freakish left tackle, long arms. And let me get this right. DeAndre Houston Carson, or is it Carson Houston?
It's DeAndre Houston
Carson. The guy with three names in the later rounds. I don't know why Bush is getting less pub. Maybe it's just the way I'm reading it. But he was the higher selection. I mean,
yeah.
That means he was
probably
a higher graded player than them.
And he's probably got a better chance of starting week one than any of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I just love DeAndre Hall's ceiling. This guy is crazy length. His arms are longer than Kyle Long's, which is crazy to think about. I mean, he's got the arms of a left tackle. He's listed as a free safety by some. I like him more corner. He said he models his game after Charles Tillman, which when I watched his tape, this was before the draft. I think I wrote this in my mock draft last week because I had Hall in my mock draft last week to this exact pick. And I mentioned Charles Tillman's name because that's kind of what he looks like. I mean, he's got the height. He's got the length. He's a press corner. But he needs to get stronger. I mean, Charles Tillman was one of the most chiseled dudes I ever saw in that locker room. Mm-hmm. And he had that strength to jam at the NFL level. So I think there's going to be a developmental period of time here with Hall. And I also don't know how great he's going to be on special teams to start. So this is going to be somebody I think they might have to be patient with his rookie season. But I think.
What do you think about that nickelback spot, though? Because he played that as well. It's Bryce Callahan's job now, an undrafted rookie from last year. Small guy.
Well, let me put this on the table right now. And Vic Fangio has, every time I've asked him about this, shot me down. But I've been saying this for a couple years now, that I think Kyle Fuller's best spot is to move inside to nickel. I think he would be a much better slot corner than he is on the outside. He was drafted into a zone defense, and I think that's still more of the way he plays. He's not a jam press man corner. Put him in the slot. I think it makes a lot more sense where he can play off, be physical, and run support because he is a physical tackler.
Great tackler.
And he's solid against the run when he comes in. So I think his game's better off there. And I think Hall is much better on the outside. This guy looks like a tall, lengthy press corner that you want on the outside, matching up against number one wide receivers. Can't do that right away, I don't think. He's jumping up from the FCS level. But I think maybe by the end of this season, by the start of next year, ultimately, I think that's the move that the Bears should make. If Hall obviously has to live up to the expectations, but he starts on the outside, you kick Kyle Fuller inside.
Yeah. I don't envision anything changing in the outside for, you mentioned, a long time, maybe late in the season.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody in that roster right now that's going to beat out Fuller or Porter for the two starting jobs. You know, like last year, the Bears had Alan Ball, kind of a wild card, $3 million wild card to come in. You know, ended up being the sixth defensive back.
Yeah. But this team has been struggling now for a few years to get a good slot corner out there. I mean, everyone got excited about Isaiah Frye.
Yeah.
See ya. Then it was Bryce Callahan. Oh, well, first Sherrick McManus had that job earlier in the year. He struggled.
Callahan wasn't bad, just can't stay healthy.
Right.
Small player.
So I think they want Hall to get on the field, and I'm excited about him. I think Hall was one of the better draft picks, great value here late in the fourth round. Got a lot of upside. All right, then we get to the fifth round, and Jordan Howard.
It's my favorite pick.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he
makes so much
sense. He's really good.
Makes so much sense. He's a different runner than Jeremy Langford. Punishing. Big guy. Kadeem Carey, can you hold him off? I don't know. Because look, Kadeem Carey runs almost in the same way. Puts his head down, right. You know, makes one cut and goes, you know, straight north or south, right? Loves the contact.
But almost too much, though.
But he's not as he had a concussion last year.
Yeah,
he's not as big as
reckless. I mean, he kind of runs reckless. Yeah. I love that style, but he's going to get himself hurt.
But Howard's not as reckless, but he still has north and south.
Right,
and he's 230 pounds. He's probably going to be more than that by the time training camp gets going. Maybe 235 pounds. You know, good vision, productive at two colleges and at two different levels. You know, his UAB program shut down for whatever reason before, but.
Right.
I really like this pick because it makes so much sense. A different style running back. You could get a good running back late. This is a good guy, a productive runner.
No, I think it's a great addition, and it makes a lot more sense than paying C.J. Anderson $19 million.
Yeah.
So, all right, so sixth round, DeAndre Houston Carson from William and Mary. Not going to lie, not really on my radar before the draft.
What's his big stat? Nine blocked kicks?
Nine blocked kicks. I mean, this...
That's kind of crazy.
Well, and I went back and watched two of his games this weekend, and he just looks to me like this guy could be the Bears' special teams ace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of examples right now, but... I mean, if you have a solid special team... Like, the kind of guy that could go to the Pro Bowl as a special teamer.
Yeah.
You know? And that I don't know if he's ever going to play safety for the Bears, like, you know, be a starting safety, but we'll see. I mean, there's a limited tape on him. He's at William and Mary, hard to really judge him against that competition. He is fast. I think it was against Villanova. One of the two games I watched was Villanova, but in one of those games, he picked a guy off, took off. I mean, and I went about 90 yards with the ball,
yeah.
Cut like a running back and scored. Again, though, I mean, this is against guys that aren't as fast. It's the FCS level. I don't know if they're playing the best competition. So it's kind of hard to judge. But I do think this guy is going to be a thumper and somebody with speed. Is gunner written all over him? You know, a solid gunner on the outside. So I think that, was it Pace or Fox said that Jeff Rogers, the special teams coordinator, was really excited about this pick. And I think
Let's go back. I mean, nine blocks.
I know. Well,
that's a unique instinctual skill.
Yes. Okay. Look at how bad kickers are, though, at the Division I level.
Yeah.
At the FBS level. Think about how bad they are at the FCS level.
Still, though.
But, yes, nine is still an incredible number.
There's timing aspects to that, which are, you know, and there's the effort there of willing to sell out to make the block. But
all right, seventh round, then. a lot of guys excited about Daniel Braverman, the wide receiver out of Western Michigan.
Why are you laughing? Did you hear I during the conference call? You weren't there.
No, I wasn't on Saturday.
So I was asking him a question, right? And I called him a shifty, right? And maybe some people misheard me.
Shitty?
Yeah, in the conference room in the Alice Hall. So they start chuckling. So I start laughing while I'm asking this kid a question. And he's like, excuse me? What's going on? And I catch myself. I'm like, sorry, Danny. We're just having fun here at Hallis Hall, you know, draft day. Everybody's laughing in the conference room, but, you know, then he called himself shifty, though.
Well, he is.
So that's, you know, he is.
This guy is a possession, shifty, good route runner. That's the thing, though. I mean, there's so many, like, I'm trying to think of some examples, but, like.
Like, is he the next Wes Welker, Julian Edelman? I don't know, you know, but he's.
I don't know. But those guys struggle to stay healthy, too.
Yeah.
And that's my worry about it.
So this guy puts on some weight, 180 pounds. You know, there's guys in the league that make it. I mean, Mark Mariani's slim, and he's made it in the league for a long time.
But what's great about Braverman, really, is he is a great route runner.
Yeah.
I mean, watching him against, and this is against Michigan State and against Ohio State.
Yeah. Oh, he makes big plays.
So when they played Ohio State this year.
Who did he beat in the slot for that touchdown?
Well, it was weird because they lined up Darren Lee against him.
Yeah.
Like the whole game. Now, Darren Lee was drafted by the Jets. He's a first-round pick. You also have Eli Apple in this.
You have, what's the safety? Von Bell?
Von Bell, too. Now, the one on the touchdown, which was a great move, Let me see if I can pull up the guy's name, because it wasn't one of the guys that got drafted. It was
still at Ohio State, though.
I don't have it up right now. But he's a high recruit a couple years ago. He's been dealing with injuries, but he was like a top recruit.
Yeah.
A cornerback for the Ohio State Buckeyes. So, I mean, it was an impressive move. And then the safety came over the top, and he just, like, he took a hit and bounced off him, and then was gone. 55-yard touchdown. Now, he had a 39-yard touchdown, or should have had a 39-yard touchdown against Michigan State, I should say, and he dropped the ball. Now, this was he faked a bubble screen. He had a linebacker lined up against, faked the bubble screen, kind of turned back to the quarterback, and that got the linebacker to look at the quarterback, and then he went, boom, wheel route.
What are you on the 40 in? 4-4?
I could pull it up. I'm not sure.
He's the only...
But he's quick. He's quicker than fast. I mean, that's the way to say it. I mean, he's not...
Well, the Michigan State highlight you put up on the old interwebs, I mean, that was a perfect example of that. It was only like a 15-yard game, but his juke move and his shiftiness.
Yeah, I should say, posted a bunch of these highlights this week on Twitter, and then I compiled them all together in one post on WGNradio.com/Bears, so you can find them all there. It's not just on Braverman, but all these guys. Look at his NFL.com page, and I don't see a 40 time listed.
I feel like I read it was like a 4-4, but anyway.
So maybe he wasn't at the combine.
No, he wasn't at the combine.
Okay, so that's probably why it's not listed here. So pro day, 4.47
okay,
at his pro day. I mean, so, I mean, that's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's quick.
Big numbers in college.
He gets out of his cuts.
I don't think Eddie Royal's a true slot receiver.
No.
I don't see it. Even he said it was something he had to learn when he was at the Chargers, right? He became a slot receiver there. I don't think Mark Mariani is too established in that role, even though he sort of was penciled into it last year. This kid is every bit of a slot receiver that you see now in the NFL. Will it translate to the NFL? I don't know. He's a seventh-round pick for a reason. He's got a tough road ahead of him, but it'll be interesting to see how he integrates or how Dow Loggins uses him in the offseason program in a training camp, because they don't have another guy that's kind of like him in the slot.
No, and I wonder, if I'm Mark Mariani, I don't know how comfortable I'm feeling right now, because this guy can also return punts.
Yeah.
So it's something to watch, but he's going to be kind of in that battle with Eddie Royal, with Mark Mariani. Marquise Wilson is a different wide receiver, so he might be safe, but you know, Josh Bellamy, who they re-signed.
His special team ace.
Yeah.
He's the only really true slot receiver.
I think he's going to play.
Yeah.
I think it was a solid pick. All right, before we get out of here, we need to talk about the quarterback situation, because they don't draft one.
Mm-hmm.
They don't sign one in undrafted free agency. But they do sign Brian Hoyer.
Okay. No problem with that. Veteran backup.
1-year deal, $2 million, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have no problem with them not drafting a quarterback, because I don't think they should have forced the issue on their board. They have too many other...
Like, what do you think about that report that they tried to trade up in the fourth round to get Connor Cook?
I'm sure they tried all sorts of different moves.
But I'm just saying, if they had done that, would you have liked it?
Connor Cook? Well, we all had our doubts about him and how he would fit... Here's the thing. Like, Pace addressed this the other day, the fit and the chemistry of that room. It's so important. Brian Hoyer will fit him fine. Is it Connor Cook? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I think the issues with Cook are sort of his attitude and his entitlement, at least from what I've heard. So I don't. I think at that point, Cook became a value pick, because I had a third-round grade on him. I think a lot of... Well, at least other media had a second round grade on him. I had been told some things that he was probably just too big of a risk, so I moved him back to the third. Yeah. And talent wise, he's probably a first round pick. He has talent. But I kept trying to tell people that captain thing mattered.
Yeah.
And people kept looking at it like I'm the one who said, no, I'm telling you that is going to cost him in the draft. I'm telling you that he is going to fall because of that. And I think he did.
Well, who took him? The Raiders?
The Raiders.
They don't need him.
They didn't really need it. Well, that's my point. I think it, once you got to the fourth,
it's a value pick,
you're going, okay, this, all right, first round talent here, a quarterback in the fourth round, I'm willing to trade up and get him.
Yeah. It's Reggie McKenzie, who comes from the Green Bay Packers line of thinking, too. Yeah. And they take quarterbacks they have for years and developed for the rest of the league.
By the way, when's the last time the Bears took a quarterback?
Well, David Fales.
David Fales.
You're thinking, but there's a better stat in the earlier rounds. Rex Grossman's last time they took one in the first three rounds.
And then I guess for a second I forgot about Fales. But then I think before that it was Dan LeFever in the fourth round.
Oh, yeah. Central Michigan?
Central Michigan.
Did he just get signed by somebody?
Yeah. No, the Bucs signed him a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay.
He hasn't been in the league for like 4 years.
Good for him.
I know.
Quarterbacks, they last forever, man. But no problem with the Brian Hoyer signing. Veteran backup.
Well, so
it'll be interesting to see what Fales does in response to this, because Fales, who the Bears do like, we know that. I don't think you're going to write him off completely right now.
No, first of all, you talk about adding competition. I think this is a competition.
Yeah.
I think people forget or don't realize that the Bears actually like David Fales. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you can just hand him the job. So for $2 million, get some competition. Do you know, is that Hoyer? It's probably not guaranteed, the money.
I'll have to see it. I'm sure a portion of it is. I'm sure there's a signing bonus included.
But if it came down to the end of training camp, do you keep Fales? Do you keep Hoyer?
I think at that time, though, you could probably keep all three.
I'm assuming we'd have to look. We're already getting into the training camp talk. But Fales' practice squad time's got to be gone. This
we'll have to check it.
Yeah. And there's already been twice where he was trying to get signed off practice squad. So I don't know if that's a realistic option. So you're saying that he could go three quarterbacks on the 53-man roster.
Yeah, a lot of teams do.
Well, all right, let's save that for August.
Okay.
But all right, it's fun to finally have some real names here to talk about that are actually on the Bears. And by the way, before we leave, did you see the video of Roy, what's this guy's name? Roy
Robertson Harris
running down that running back?
No.
Oh, my God. It's can I pull this up right now?
Surprised this guy wasn't drafted.
Well, I am too, but, dude, there's this play. So this kid plays for UTEP, and the Bears signed him as an undrafted free agent. And someone tweeted me this video last night. I hadn't seen it yet. Where the play is all the way back towards the goal line. Now, Roy Robertson Harris is 6'6", 260 pounds. He's chasing down and running back. This play starts at the 5-yard line near the goal line, all the way back.
That would be his agent tweeting you that video.
This is his agent who tweeted out the video. Someone else tweeted it at me specifically, and it's not loading. So what a letdown.
Boo.
Boo.
But he was a top 30.
Great radio.
Pre-draft visit for the Bears.
So they obviously had high interest in him, and as soon as the draft was over, wanted to grab him. But anyway, so this play, as much as I can describe it on the radio, do a little bit of play-by-play here, but it's a handoff to the running back, basically out of the pistol. The running back goes right through the defensive line, and Robertson Harris is on the edge, so he's not part of the running back didn't go by him, but so he puts his foot in the ground, plants it, turns around, chases this dude down 60 yards downfield. This is a 6'6", 260-pound defensive end who's probably going to be an outside linebacker for the Bears, chasing this running back down all the way down the field.
So he's an athlete.
He's fast as hell.
He fits the speed and athlete criteria that the Bears want now for their players, especially on defense.
Anyway, you can find that on my Twitter account, at Adam Hoag. It's a pretty incredible video, obviously is why the Bears wanted him. All right, well, anything else we need to get to here?
No. You going to play that What Does the Fox Say?
Oh, I almost forgot. Thank God you reminded me. Should have done it earlier. Yes, because John Fox talked this week.
Mm-hmm. 10 minutes.
It's been a while. So we had to bring you What Does the Fox Say, and here it is.
What does the fox say?
Oh, I mean, I can't answer that. I mean, it's just like, I don't know, horse racing. What the fox say?
Did you understand that reference?
No, I think it was my colleague from the Sun-Times, Pat Finley, basically threw a hypothetical at him.
Well, he asked him if there were going to be any cuts before camp, which, duh.
Yeah.
I mean, love you, Pat, but...
Right.
But that could be one of those questions where you just, like, want to see what Fox would say.
Right.
I've done that before. But then... But how is that like horse racing?
I don't know. Like, picking winners. It doesn't.
It's like horse racing. Here it is again.
Isn't horse
I can't answer that. I mean, it's just like, I don't know, horse racing.
He was searching. That pause was a search, you know?
Horse racing. Oh, Foxy. It's been a while. All right. Well, we need to wrap things up here on Intentional Ground. I appreciate you listening throughout the draft and post-draft. Mini camps in a couple weeks. We'll probably do an episode after that. But this was episode 32 of Intentional Grounding, the Cedric Benson episode.
Not as terrible as him, I hope.
Oh, man. Might have been up there. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Find us on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. Please rate the podcast there. Leave a review if you like it. We appreciate you doing that. Our producer is Mike Jacobson. We thank him. Adam, talk to you in a couple weeks, probably.
Yeah, after rookie minicamp,
which they pushed back a week. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll talk to you then.